stay right under his blood. Where the devil can't do me no harm, I'm gonna stay right under his blood. I'm gonna stay right under his blood. I'm gonna stay right under his blood. Where the devil can.
One more time.
I'm gonna stay right. Oh, in Jesus, gonna stay right under his blood. I'm gonna stay right under his blood. Where the devil can, he will do me no harm.
Bless you richly this morning. Amen. Hello. God bless you. Amen. So, do you really believe what we are singing? Under his blood, where the devil can't do me no harm. So, don't be afraid of challenges and everything that raises around you. They will see you, but they will never reach over to where you are. Amen. It's just like a fly in a bottle and the chicken outside the bottle. You know, he can see you. He'll try to peck at you, but he'll never reach you. There's an edge of protection. And the devil will never, ever do you no harm. Amen. We thank the Lord. We greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And welcome to the house of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you once again this morning for bringing us for fellowship this morning in your house, O Lord. Thank you for traveling mercies, taking us from our different houses. You brought us in this house so that we can sit under your feet, O Lord, as we are singing, under your blood, where nothing, no arrow of the enemy can reach over to us, O Lord. Where everything, where you said that even if he raises like a flood, you'll raise a standard against him, O Lord. Even if he comes like a lion, you are the lion of the tribe of Judah to give us your protection, O Lord. We thank you for that. Heavenly Father, we commit each and every one of us into your hand. You know we are always needy people. As long as you will be in this body, we have needs, O Lord. Bless your children. They have put their needs aside. They have put their worries aside, O Lord. We have come to worship you, and we know that you are here. We know that you know our desires, you know our needs, O Lord, and you will grant it to us for your glory. Bless the sacrifice of your people and take us now in the heavenly places where you will speak and where we'll be blessed in our souls, in our body, in every aspect of our lives, O Lord. We commit now the service into your hand. Bless the reading of the word as we'll be going through this little exhortation of Sunday school. Bless the youths and the children upstairs there in their different classes, O Lord. Let your spirit come down. Bless now, O Lord, everything that will be done today for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you once again. We are happy to be back in the house of the Lord, and we are going for our Sunday school lesson. Let's open the Bible, Jude verse 3, because Jude has only one chapter. So verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read it in a different version. It says, Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. So today we are starting a new topic. Hopefully we'll be able to finish it today. If not, maybe another day, if the Lord gives us an opportunity. Earnestly contending for the faith. That's our topic. You know, the way Jude introduces this verse, he says, especially in the other version I read, he says, I was eager to write to you regarding our common salvation. I wanted to preach to you about our salvation. But I found it compelling. I found compelled. You know, I found it needful, necessary to write to you to contend for the faith. So Jude the apostle here is showing the pressure he found in him, he felt in him to speak, to lean toward a certain line rather than speaking about salvation. He wanted to preach on salvation, but he found it more important, more appealing, more necessary to speak about contending for the faith. Because the Holy Spirit felt that it was good to speak about salvation, but it was more important to speak about contending for the faith. Why? Because I believe when Jude is trying to make, he could have just said to them, let's contend earnestly for the faith. But he introduced it by saying that I wanted to speak about salvation, but I found it more important to speak about contending for the faith. Why? Because I believe that salvation is something that you have already. Those people that he was talking to, they were saved. Because salvation is what? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. They were believers. They were baptized. So they were saved already. We can exhort you. We can encourage you on our salvation. But he found that it was more important that now that they are saved, They need to be to stand ready to contend for their faith. Why? Because challenges will raise. Being saved is one step in the right direction. But remember, in every age, when the angel was speaking to John, when the angel was giving the revelation to John to write to the churches, at the end of every age he was saying, to him that will overcome. Amen? To the overcomer, I will do this and that. To him that will overcome, I will give this and that. So in every age, Christians are expected to be overcomers. And you can't overcome if there is no fight. You can't overcome if there is no contention. That's why Jude found here that trials will come. These people have believed. These people, they have made their confession. They got baptized. But it's more important for them, for us today, to contend, to hold firm on what we believe. That's what is more important. Because trials will come. Challenges will come. You are expected to be overcomers. We are expected to be overcomers. You can't overcome if you sleep in your bed. Even in the bed, you need to. There's some way of overcoming.
Yes.
Amen. Because you need to give up something to decide to go to bed. You need to, that pool of doing whatever. In everything, you need to make a stand. Especially in our Christian life, you need to make a stand. And to make a stand, to take a stand, you need first to know what you believe. Because you can't contend for something that you don't know. You can't stand for something that you don't even understand. Amen. That's why we thought maybe we need to go to the foundations of what we believe. Because you can't really take position for what you believe if you don't know what you believe. You know, this topic came yesterday when I was meditating. And I was praying and I really didn't know what approach to take. And I just remembered last week, my son Olivier came. He had one of his friends in the college where he goes, he was challenging him about his faith. He came and he was really, I could see that the boy was really, pushed to a corner by that boy. You know, he was asking him, tell me, why do you believe in God? It was a simple question, but I could see that the boy was really, it was for the first time in his life that someone was asking him that question. I could see he was really, he came home really, his mom told me he was really upset. See, I've never asked myself that question. You may be born in a Christian family, mom and dad took you to church. Even before you were born, pastor prayed for you when you were in there.
Sorry.
And when you were born, they brought you here, they prayed for you, and it was just a continuation of your parents' faith, beliefs, and so forth. But have you ever stopped to ask yourself, why do you believe in God?
Amen.
Amen. Because one day you'll be put to challenge. We live in a country where we have many different beliefs. One day a Muslim will come and ask you, why do I have to believe in Jesus? Mm-hmm. An atheist will ask you, why do you think I should believe in God? That boy was telling Olivier, I believe in science. Because science makes sense. And he gave him so many points to, so many elements to make his point. That science makes more sense than believing in God. So you tell me, why do you believe in God to begin with? Is it because your parents told you that God exists? Or, you know, I was looking at him and said, what did you tell him? He said, honestly, Dad, I didn't know what to say. You know, so it's not only because of that, but individually, we have to know why we believe what we believe. Why do we believe the message?
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
What is the message? These are simple things that sometimes we take for granted. You know, what is the message? Why do we believe? You know, one day, Jesus was standing before Pilate. Pilate was a Roman, a governor, a man who probably has done a lot of studies. But one simple word made him go, what is truth? You know, and the historian says, even after Jesus was crucified, after years after, Pilate remained in a state of, you know, his mind was upside down because of that simple question. What is truth? He was not, you know, at rest anymore. Because maybe before he took it for granted that he knows what truth is. But when he was standing in the presence of the person of truth itself, he couldn't know what is truth, you know. You believe the message. We believe the word, but why? What do you really believe? And when you are, you know, put before a challenge, will you be able to stand the ground and earnestly contend for the faith? What Jude is exhorting us here. We have to know exactly where we stand.
Amen.
Especially in these days, in this age we are living, things are getting tougher and tougher. The time will come, you know, they are making everything to make the Bible look as a old-fashioned book. You know, all the things that is taught in the Bible, they want to change it completely. And we need to know why we believe what we believe. Amen. So, in this sermon, earnestly contending for the faith. The faith that was once delivered to the saints in 1955. The prophet says, but now Jude told us to contend for the faith. The faith, not a faith. The faith that was once delivered to the saints. He said, there's only one sensible way to do that. That's go right back and find out what kind of a faith they had then. And then when you find what kind of faith they had then earnestly contend for that. Amen. Before we can contend for faith, we need to know what is faith. What kind of faith did they have then? What kind of faith were you delivered? Then you can stand for that faith. Otherwise, you'll just say, I go to church, Dublin Christian Fellowship, and our church, we sing well, and we have a good pastor, and this and that. But the day you are put to a test, since you don't know where you are standing, since you can't even define what you are believing, you'll stumble. Amen. That's why we see things that we see. Because people we thought maybe they were model and reference, but the foundation was not stable. And the foundation, we know it's a foundation of faith. That's why even in the pyramid, that's why in the stature of a perfect man, the basis, the foundation is faith. Yes. That's why you have to contend for that faith. Because if there is no foundation, or the foundation is not firm, anything you build on top, it will just be knowledge. It will just be something to, you know, to prove a point, to tell people I'm this and that. But when the foundation is firm, that's why Paul, the apostle here, Jude, salvation is good, but let's talk about faith. Because if you don't know what you believe, if your faith is not solid, we may even question your salvation. Amen. Well, your salvation is even a doubt, because one day you will just question your salvation yourself. Because you don't know where you have built your hope of salvation. That's why he says, I wanted to preach on salvation, but I found it better to exhort you to earnestly contend for the faith. And may I say this, my brother, sister, with all love in my heart, that the real true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is given by spiritual revelation. That's the only way you could know it. So, your faith to begin with, the faith that you need to contend for, it must first be a revelation. Amen. Because if it's not a revelation, it's built on sinking sand. It will be just, you will be just be part of a move, a cog that goes into a motion, and you don't know why you are in that motion, and the day the whatever energy was making that cog to move stop, you stop also. Amen. It's just like the children of Israel. When they were coming out of Egypt, you know, coming out of Egypt had to be a revelation. Because we see, when we read the story, the history of the Exodus, that those that came out of Egypt without a revelation, those are the ones that made trouble. Amen. Those are the ones that made issues on the way, because they didn't know why they were going out. Amen. The Bible is talking about the mixed multitude. There were people who were going out because they had a revelation. Your faith must first be a revelation, a personal revelation. It's something that's between you and God. And because of that, if it is a personal revelation, you will contend for it. You will know how to defend it. But if it is something that dad told you, one day you'll start questioning. The day your dad do something, you step on your toe, then you start even questioning his beliefs. You have seen it many times. You are coming to church because of dad, and the day you see dad coming home and, I don't know, doing things that you didn't expect him to do, instead of taking it in the human dimension, in the humanity of your father, of your mother, of your pastor, of whoever it is, but because your faith was based on him, you know, your distrust in him makes even your faith to shackle. Amen? So that's why it is important that your faith must be a revelation. Those that came out of Egypt, because when they were going out, someone could stop them and ask, I don't know, a reporter, microphone, tell me, where are you going? Oh, no, we are going to a land where milk and honey. Ah, okay. Why are you going? Oh, no, because Moses told us we need to go. No revelation. He could ask someone else, why are you going? Oh, no, because, you know, my dad told me we need to go. Why are you going? Oh, you know, I will stay alone here. All the Jews are going. All the Hebrews are going. So staying here alone in Egypt, it doesn't make sense. He's going. Why are you going? Oh, my girlfriend is going, so staying here will become boring. I'm following my boyfriend, my girlfriend, my family. Many people left because of that. I wonder if there was not some Egyptians that because of a girl, they say, oh, they are going, let me go. Because I miss that girl. You never know. People were there. These people, you know, they were doing good business. Because of many different reasons. But there were people, when you ask them, why are you going? They will tell you, God told our father Abraham that your generation, that your people, your descendants will go into a foreign land and will be made slaves there. And they will remain there for 400 years. And after those 400 years, I will come down with my mighty hand to deliver them from their masters and bring them to a land where milk and honey is flowing. So those people, those type of people, they knew that this motion is not, we are not following Moses. We are not following this and that, but I'm going because God made a promise.
That's right.
And this is a fulfillment of that promise. Amen. So even if on the way Moses said, I want to go back to Egypt, that person will say, Moses, you may deny your revelation, you may deny your calling, but me, because of the revelation I've received,
amen.
That's why Paul said, even if when an angel, even when myself, I will come and give you a different revelation from what I told you before, let me be accursed. Amen. Why? Because he didn't want the people's faith to be based on him. He didn't want the people's beliefs be based on what mood, whatever he will take as attitude. But he wanted people's faith to be based, built on the word of God and
Amen.
Only on the word alone.
Amen.
Get your personal revelation. So that person that was coming out of Egypt and going based on the revelation, no matter what challenge raised in front of them, no matter where the burning serpents, no matter there was no water, there was no food, no matter there was no school to send the children to, no matter there was no maternity where the wife could go and give birth, no matter what, their faith was based on the promise. And once they were anchored on that promise, they knew that I know my Redeemer liveth. Even if I can't explain the situation that I'm facing, but the promise will fulfill itself. God that made the promise will bring it to realization.
Amen.
That's what will make you contend for your faith. If you know what you believe, and if it is a personal revelation. If it's not a personal revelation, my brother, my sister, it's just a matter of time. Faith isn't something that's imaginary. Faith is a direct revelation. If you only accept Christ as your savior by an intellectual, you haven't got it yet. You cannot say that Jesus is the Christ until the Holy Spirit has revealed it to you. Amen. Your faith must become first a revelation.
That's right.
Amen. Your faith must be a revelation. Because when it is a revelation, it's a personal experience. And something that you have acquired by experience, it stays there.
That's right.
Amen. Some things that you have acquired. A little child, when he makes mistakes and hurts himself, he gets a good lesson there. And it's something that nobody taught him. He said, if I touch fire, I'll get burned. And it remains. It's just, you know, it's comparison I'm making. But faith is far more beyond than that. It's a personal revelation, meeting yourself personally, meeting him, knowing him in your life. And making that experience is something that will make you contend for the faith. Even if death threats are before you. That's why they could go and accept to be burned alive.
That's right.
Amen. They could accept to be beheaded. Why? They knew where they were standing. They were ready to contend for their faith. Amen. God bless you. We are going to stop there. Maybe if God gives us another opportunity, we'll talk more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we commit now the rest of this meeting into your hands. Take leadership, take control. Bless us, bless the singing, bless the worship, bless everything that will be done, the preaching of the word. Let it be for your glory as we commit it into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.